Why are the words please and thank you two of the very first words that we teach our young children? Because you want them to be polite. You want them to be accepted in society. Those are such important words. And thank you really is one of the very first words we learn when we go into a foreign country. Merci beaucoup, monsieur. Danke schön, mein Herr. Gracias, signore. Diolch yn fawr, but... Talking aside, I got to thinking, what do we really mean by thankfulness? Thankfulness. It comes up 71 times in the New Testament, and most of those instances as that word or something similar. The definition is to show oneself grateful, to be thankful, to give thanks. Likewise, gratitude is a positive emotion. It involves being thankful and appreciative. When you experience gratitude, you feel grateful for something that someone in your life has done for you or something that you've received. Gratitude is a special gift given to us by God. Gratitude is fundamentally about not taking things for granted. It is being thankful for what we have and what we receive. Thankfulness is a powerful means of drawing nearer to God. You might say today, well, I got very little to be thankful for. God has dealt me a really rough hand. Well, it got me thinking. When you think of David, and we think particularly of many of the hymns that, and many of the psalms, rather, that David has written. When you think of David, in reality, he had very little reason to feel thankful. His days with Saul, he worked hard. By all accounts, he was a great courtier in the court of Saul. He became a great general. But Saul tried to kill him on numerous occasions. His son Absalom tried to usurp his throne and even turned his close advisor Abimelech against him. And he had so many family tragedies. And yet, he was able to say, here in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Does that sound familiar? Thank you, Steve. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That's an amazing phrase. "And forget not all his benefits." Now, this is a man that really went through the mill during the time of his life. There were many peaks and troughs in his life, and yet he could say those words. If you would turn with me to another of his psalms, Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Excuse me for I'm clearing my throat occasionally. You might have seen me smiling during the hymn. I realized I had a frog in my throat and I couldn't sing out any of the words. But here we go. Psalm 116, and I'm reading the whole of the psalm. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell gat a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this ability to meet together around your word. What a precious time that is, Lord. Dwelling on your word. We thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you for this word that has come down through the ages. Your word, Lord. And though it's looked down upon by many people in the world, we know how precious it is. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've laid on my heart. May it be meaningful, helpful, and even challenging. But Heavenly Father, whatever happens, we pray that whatever said and done may be for your honor and your glory. We ask this through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in Psalm 116, David takes us down memory lane. He starts off by saying, I love the Lord because. And in the next few verses, he tells you why he loves the Lord. Let's have a look at it. If you turn to look at verse 1, I'm going through this psalm, so keep your Bibles open. I know sometimes when someone finishes reading, close your Bible, put it away. I called you out. I'm going to go through it. Psalm 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. He has heard my voice and my supplications. How often are we thankful that God has heard our prayers? How often do we turn to the Lord in prayer? How often do we pray? How do we pray? Jesus suggested that we pray this way. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Notice, it's when, not if, you pray. When you pray in secret. How often do we read that Jesus spent much of his time on his own in prayer? After the feeding of the 5,000, he left the disciples and went up into a mountain on his own to pray. After the Last Supper, we know full well that Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went 3 times to pray on his own. And that prayer was so intense that the gospel writer says that he sweat, as it were, sweat beads of blood. So intense was his prayer. But it was on his own. It was that conversation between himself and his Father. David was a praying man. He could praise because he felt he had so much to thank God for. At one time he said, my cup runneth over. That's a wonderful thing to say, isn't it? Many of us can say that. My cup runneth over. I've got as much as I want. I've received so much from the Lord. And then look at verse 2. He says, I love the Lord because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. He has inclined his ear to us. He has heard my prayers. Not only God heard David's prayers, he'd answered them, and often very much in a dramatic way. David often consulted God about his battles. Shall I go into battle against the Philistines? Shall I lead my men in this way? It was never with a preconceived plan. He always consulted with God. Are we thankful that God has answered our prayers? Surely we should praise God for answered prayer. I've said this so many times. It thrills me in prayer meeting to hear someone say, you know, we were praying for so-and-so. Well, the cancer is clear. Or they've been saved. It's wonderful, isn't it? It really is. Answer to prayer. And I also said this, I think, the last time I spoke to you, that we each have a testimony. Every one of us has a testimony. Not only to our salvation, but the times the Lord has answered our prayers. Our prayers. Personal. The moment you think back on that sickness that was healed, that comfort when we were bereaved, the need that was supplied, the burden that was filled, the friendship that was created, the victory that was gained, all through our prayer life, and God answered them. Phil mentioned in a recent men's meeting that he starts every day by thanking God for the day. And all the men present agreed, yes, that's how we start the day. I tell you what, as you get older, you realize that every day is precious. Every extra day is precious. I must be honest, when I open my eyes, well, here we are again. Thank you, Lord, for another day. And when you're a youngster, just another day, and it's a miserable old day anyway. No, as you get older, every day is precious. I remember I used to do inspections of schools during the exam period. And I had about 100 schools in South Wales. And I'd visit them every summer. And as I was leaving, the exam officer used to say to me, see you next year. And I always replied exactly the same. If I'm spared. Every time. And some of them would look at me quizzically. Some of them would look at me knowingly and smile. They probably thought, well, we may be lucky. But seriously, it's a gift, that extra time. If I'm blessed with another year, and it is a blessing, an amazing blessing. How often have we quoted, count your blessings, name them one by one. And the next line is so important. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Not surprise you, it will amaze you what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. What a gift that we've received from him. That amazing gift, a genuine gift of salvation. And at what a cost. Each one of us has had that amazing gift. And if you haven't received that gift, oh, what a special, special gift it is. Salvation. Knowing, having a personal relationship with your Savior, with the Creator of the universe, a personal relationship. And then, if you read on verses 3 and 4, the sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell gat a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. His pain hadn't slain him. There were many times when he had so many near-death experiences, and so many of his psalms were written from a cave when he was in hiding. and came very close at times to death. But he thanked God that the pain had gone. How thankful are we when our pain is abated, whatever that pain might be. All who are saved, you see, God has saved from the pains of hell. We are saved from the pains of hell. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. At that time, he said on the cross, "It is finished." And so it was. Complete. There was no more to do. The job had been done. He had overcome the devil. And through that act, through that selfless act on the cross, each one of us has known salvation. Each one of us has had that amazing experience of turning to him. And not just turning to him, living through him. And that's the important point. It doesn't just stop there. And for anyone that doesn't know the Lord, you might think, well, what are these people talking about? It's a special experience. You see, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Talking of gratitude, I was reminded of the story of the 10 lepers. This was a terrible disease that ate their flesh, and therefore it made them outcasts in society. They weren't allowed to come into normal society. And therefore these men called upon the Lord for mercy. They couldn't go up to him. They called upon the Lord for mercy. They really had no hope. And like these men, we needed mercy. And when we called upon the Lord, he answered that call. You see, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but we called upon the Lord. Like these lepers, each and every one of us needs to call upon the Lord to be saved. For Paul said in Romans, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That sounds simple, doesn't it? But that's what the gospel message is about. Calling upon the name of the Lord. And yes, there's other things that we have to do. But calling upon his name is the very first step. These men were told to show themselves to the priest so that they could prove that they were clean and therefore they could be introduced back into society. And they took that step of faith. They all went to the priest, as Jesus had said. And they were cleansed. Our healing for salvation is similar. We called upon his name, and he answered it. He accepted it. For therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Each man saw that he was healed. However, only one returned back to Jesus. Only one came back. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. One of them came back. What happened to the other nine? They were also healed. Their whole lives had been changed. They were being welcomed back into society. They were cleansed. But one returned and offered that thankfulness. How often do we sing that hymn with vigor? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. That's the second time I mentioned free and a gift. It is rich and free, that salvation. One went back and said, thank you. It was an amazing gift that they had. The cleansing of their bodies. It changed their lives completely. They went back into life as they had known it. And yet, only one showed any real gratitude. And then continue with verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. What he's saying here is, my prayers have been answered. In recent months, we've had a great deal of anxiety, angst, tribulation, turmoil, whatever you like. Where did we turn in those times of trial? Where did we turn? How often did God preserve our lives, preserve us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? And sadly, it's not going to stop there. We have a future coming up that might well be, in many respects, even worse. We desperately need God. Society needs God. You see, people are at their wits' end. We hear night after night people on the television at their wits' end. There is an answer. There is an answer. And it's so important that people are told of that avenue, that option that they can take in life that will give them hope. And that's what a lot of people are suffering from. Hopelessness. A lack of hope. A lack of anything in the future that's going to be meaningful. It is so sad. So, so sad. Because we recited this, I know Len has mentioned it a number of times. Wonderful, wonderful psalm. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And the second verse is so important. My help cometh from the Lord. Absolutely. My help cometh from the Lord. You see, God is no security against storms, but he is a perfect security in storms. I don't know who wrote that, but I thought it was great. I'll read it again. God is no security against having storms, but he is a perfect security in storms. He is that help. And our help cometh from the Lord. David came to know a new low depression and despair, but he had been healed by the Lord when he was brought low. Always we can be thankful that it could have been worse. Grass is always greener, isn't it, on the other side. We always want more or better. It seems that those who have the least are the most thankful. Those that have the most want more and more and more. This story has been told, I think, a couple of times by Pastor, but it's worthy of repeating because it illustrates the point I want to make. Story is told of two friends who bumped into one another on the street one day. One of them looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, What has the world done to you, my old friend? The sad chap said, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago my uncle died and left me £40,000. What? That's a lot of money. But 2 weeks ago, a cousin I didn't even know existed, died and left me £85,000. Sounds like you've been really blessed. I don't understand, he interrupted. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost £250,000. Now he was really confused. Why do you look so glum? He said, this week, nothing. I'll wait a little while for that to... If you don't understand it, you know, mention the person next. Seriously, it is so true of life, though, isn't it? The more we have, the more we want. There's an awful, awful, awful lot of people in this world who are without. And when we say without, we mean nothing. Poverty is like a cancer in our society. It is frightening. It really is frightening. The news is getting more depressing, more depressing, more depressing. And there doesn't seem to be any end to it. Petrol prices. Unbelievable. The price of gas and electricity. And food prices. And I was speaking to Darren 2 days ago, and he said in America it's worse. He said, you know, obviously in America you thought the things were much cheaper. He said they're far, far more expensive now than in this country. And it is frightening. It really is frightening. Psalm 145 says, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness." Thy great goodness. What was that hymn we used to sing? All good things around us are sent from heaven above. And they are. We take so, so much for granted. Our health and well-being. Our fitness. The fact that we are continuing. I know I joked about it earlier. But it is a blessing. You know, that the extra day, the time you have. The time you have together. Time you have with family. Family is a blessing. And there are so many things that we have received from above that we should be recognizing day after day. David always speaks of God's great goodness in a very positive way. We have fond memories. It's nice to have memories, isn't it? Memories of holidays, memories of friendships, memories of experiences in life. Paul said, in Philippians, "I thank my God for every remembrance of you." He was talking about Timothy and Philemon. He thanked God for his friends, that he had met them, that they had had an impact upon his life. How many people have had impacts upon our lives? Do we thank God for them? You know, in this congregation, we are so, so blessed. There's so many people that are prayer warriors, that pray for each other, that lift each other up in prayer. And that's so important. It is so important that we remember each other as well. The one thing I meant to have mentioned earlier is that we prayed for Alice going to America on her own. Well, Cleo is going to America on her own on Friday. So please, please, lift her up in prayer. It's so important we lift each other up in prayer. Prayer is so precious. It is so precious. And then, after David had been brought low, he heard God saying in verse 7, "Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Can we not say the same as I just said a few moments ago? Why then do we keep grumbling about the hardship in our Christian pilgrimage through life? Do we think so much of ourselves and so little of him? No wonder we are brought low sometimes. But whatever the crisis today, he can give help. He can lighten our burdens. He can alleviate our stresses. He can relieve our worries. That last one sounds simple, doesn't it? He can relieve our worries. Because worry is a terrible thing. And I'm fine to talk. I'm the world's worst worrier. I'm worse than my son, and he's bad enough. Seriously. Do worry. Parents worry about their children. Children worry about their parents for different reasons. But seriously, it is so important that we realize that God is there at all times. At all times. Particularly at those times of crisis. We need A, to recognize it, and B, to be thankful for answered prayer. And then in verse 8, David says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." David's burden had been lifted. He was thankful to God for all that he had done for him. He was a refuge in a time of need. And for many of us, he is a refuge in our time of need. He is there at all times. So having viewed all these things which David said, "I love the Lord because," what did he decide to do about it? Well, move down a little to verse 13. Verse 13. "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Now, what does that remind you of? "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Paul says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's wonderful, isn't it? The cup of salvation. That's something that's very precious. Every day we should be thanking God for our salvation. That cup of salvation. That nearness to him. That relationship we have with him. That relationship that we have that costs so dearly. But you see, salvation is free. It's a gift, probably the greatest gift. And many who are not saved may well have heard this announcement, this message, time and time again, and said, as Pastor has said, "Oh, you know, there'll be plenty of time." Time is running out. Now is the time to make that decision. It is so important in life. We've talked about the terrors of this world, and we've only scratched the surface when we talk about poverty. I haven't mentioned war. I haven't mentioned the evilness within the world. The covetousness within the world. The fact that we live in a me society. It's all about me. Well, not about me, but seriously. That's an attitude in society. Don't rock my boat. You know, it's all about me. And it's a hard, hard world. This is a good time to accept that free gift, if you haven't already accepted it. And then David promises to keep his vows in verse 14. He goes on to say, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." In the presence of all his people. He could have used the word publicly. Publicly. Now that's a very special word as far as Christians are concerned. Our public persona. You see, what he's giving thanks for sincerely is verbal thanks for what God has given him. And what he is saying is that we must give of our time. We talked about priorities. How much time do we devote to the Lord in any given day? How much of a priority? You know, we talked about how much we've received from him. At what cost we've received from him. How much time do we devote to him in the day? our lifestyle. Again, we talked about this many times. But how others see us. Are we the Christian that we should be? Are we Christ-like in our attitudes, in our behavior? And our love for one another, not just our Christian friends, because God said, God so loved the world, the unlovely. Alistair mentioned this morning about Jesus going into with publicans and sinners. That wasn't because he didn't have any other friends. It was because he was making a point. He hadn't come to save the righteous, but sinners from repentance. And that's so important, that we love the unlovely. This year, you see, Pastor has designated a time called Evangelical Explosion, and offer it weekly challenges. I'm going to ask a question now, and I want you to answer it honestly. Don't forget, Pastor's watching. How many of you have read the challenge in the bulletin today? I'm hoping I'm going to be telling Pastor there's half the congregation. You see, those challenges are not there. Pastor, it's not half the congregation. Those challenges are not there just to fill up a little block. Oh, I can see some of you looking at them now. So you can put your hand up after. Right, fine. Those challenges are not there just to fill up a little block in the bulletin. What Pastor has been trying to do is to give us that strength that we need, that knowledge that we need, that confidence that we need to witness to others. That confidence to hand out those tracts. And if I have a question, to answer those questions. It's not just a fun game, let's learn a few verses. It is giving us that confidence. If someone asks us a question, we can answer. So please, please, please look at those challenges and take up those challenges, because time is running out. And to conclude where we started, David promised to offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. These words are mirrored by Paul in Thessalonians. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The will of God. In everything, give thanks. In everything. And that sums up what I've been saying. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. That's what, we've been talking about. In everything, give thanks. And that's so important, that we are giving him thanks. You see, do we recognize all the blessings we receive? I was reminded of the hymn, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do we praise him often enough? Do we thank him often enough? Does this spur us on to give of our best? Will we get those words at the end of our journey? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are we realistically offering our thanks that is acceptable to him who holds nothing back from us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word. We are thankful, Lord, for the bounteous blessings that we receive day after day after day. Help us not to take so much for granted. Help us to recognize the blessings that we receive and to be genuinely thankful for those blessings. And may that be that reflected in the way in which we treat others, the way in which we go out into the world. May we take your presence wherever we may go and whatever company we're in, so that people will recognize you through us. Pray that this message may touch the hearts of those that, some that don't know you, some who may be hearing this for perhaps the first time or the umpteenth time. May this be the night when people will decide it is time to turn their eyes to you. Bless us now, we pray, O Heavenly Father, and keep us safe. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll sing our final hymn. With whom my whole heart I will sing praise you. Right, I'll start that again. Josh and I have had this conversation, and I can't even say I need to go to Specsavers because these were new on Friday. With my whole heart, I will praise you, holding nothing back. Hallelujah. You have made me glad, and now I come with open arms to thank you. With my heart, embrace. Hallelujah. Is that it? Fine, thank you. We stand to say.
for the word you've had this evening and the message you've taken on Brian Carson. We bless him truly as he moves forward again. Pray, God, particularly for those who are travelling over these coming months. There's a lot going on at the summer season and people are travelling. We pray the Holy Lord to make a way to America when it's after this, so they're travelling near season and to find contentment and peace in that. And I think as well, Lord, of Alice's already out in America and Kate going to South Africa and even our own pastor and Bill coming back as well in a few weeks. Pray for all these citizens and all these souls, Lord, that you will keep them, strengthen them, and be with them in all that they do. It's been the act before we pray. Amen. Amen.